I want to encourage everybody as we're looking at the word this morning. I want to encourage you to do one thing. Ask yourself this question: how does this apply to me personally? How does God's word, what is being said from God's word this morning, apply to me on a personal level? You know, sometimes we hear God's word and we think of, so-and-so could hear this one, right? And this one this morning is directly for each of us, all right? And I want us to just receive it as God has it. So I want to tell you about some things. We've been talking about the word ignite for a few weeks now. And really, it's our word, our theme for the year, to ignite, to allow God to ignite the fire in us that only He can. Help us to be filled with His Spirit, and help us to be on fire for Him. Help us to stir up the gifts of God in us. Help us to do our part. Help us to spread the message, all of those things, to ignite this fire. And so we're doing a few things this year to help us move toward that goal. So I just want to share some things with you, just a list of things. You don't have to keep this list. I just want to share it with you to tell you where we're going. One thing, we're going to start having communion on the first Sunday of every month, starting next month. Yep. And so it'll be in morning worship every month. We will have communion. And then we're going to add fasting and prayer. We're going to have 3 days of fasting and prayer every month. It'll be the first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of each month. And that is starting tomorrow. So if you've got all your groceries laid out for the week, I'm sorry if you didn't know about this, all right? We're going to start fasting and praying, and we're going to talk about fasting this morning. So we're going to have fasting and prayer this week, starting tomorrow morning, and we're going to fast Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I'll walk you through what that looks like. And on Wednesday night, we're going to have prayer right here in the main auditorium together. If you can make it, that's great. If you can make it for 5 minutes and you need to leave, that's great. Or if you say, I just can't make it, that's okay too. There's no guilt and there's no pressure in this. We just want to lean into what God has for us. We just want to be in fasting and in prayer. And so we're just going to build that into our week, our monthly schedule, and make sure that we are focusing on the things that matter the most. And then on the second Sunday night of each month throughout this year, we're going to have either a fellowship or a worship time. This month is Super Bowl, all right? Now listen, I was rooting for the Cowboys. They're not in the playoffs anymore, all right? And last week I told you I changed my team. I was going to root for the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost last week. So I'm trying to decide who I want to lose next week, and I'm going to root for them, all right? Man, I am bad luck. I thought it was somebody else, but I guess. Anyway, so we're going to have fellowship or worship on the second Sunday night of March is going to be straight up worship, and we're just going to pray for one another. We're going to lean into what God has for us. We're going to have an extended time of prayer that night. We're going to pray for everybody who wants to be prayed for that night. We're going to just throw out the schedule, and we're just going to focus in on getting close to God that night. And then we'll do that throughout the year on that second Sunday night. Baptism, we're moving to the third Sunday. Growth Track started this morning, so everybody that was in Growth Track, can we just give them a hand? Yes. I always love seeing people getting involved. And so Growth Track will be the first 3 Sundays of each month. If you miss this, the first one this month, you can just sign up for next month and get plugged in. It'll be the same every month with new folks going through it each month. And Growth Track, for those of you that don't know what that is, it's very simple. If you feel like Grace Point could be your church home, then this is the place to start. You'll learn everything you need to know about Grace Point. You'll learn about how to get involved. You'll learn about what we believe, who we are, where we're going, where we've been, all that stuff, answer all your questions, and then help you get plugged in, all right? So Growth Track. And then Grow Ops. This is something brand new. Now, we have been doing what we call small groups for a long time, and we've been doing those in 2 semesters a year. COVID kind of threw us off, to be honest with you. And so we need to reinvent some things and say, okay, this is not working and that's not working. COVID has changed the game. Let's figure out what will work. Let's ask God what He's blessing. Let's get busy doing it. And one of those things is Grow Ops. So next weekend when we have our marriage night, It will start off with an event, right? A three-hour event. We're going to have dinner, and we're going to learn about marriage and all that and spend some time hanging out together at that event. And then, of course, on the next Sunday morning, you can sign up for about a 4 or 5 week small group for marriage that you can come to every week after that for 4 weeks and even kind of go deeper in your marriage. And so we're calling that whole thing a grow opportunity, grow up, right? So it'll start with an event, like a Saturday event. And then after that, if you'd like to sign up for the small group that goes with that, it'll be a short small group. In the past, our small groups have been, you know, 3 or 4 months long, and that seems to be a little bit long for folks now, and so we're going to shorten those down, and we're going to hit some topics this year that we believe are important, like marriage. Next month, it will be the IF conference for all you ladies. You can sign up, and there'll be a small group after that you can sign up for as well. We're going to, throughout the year, we'll do finances, we'll do marriage, we're going to do all of those, and that will happen in a grow-up setting. So it'll start off with an event, a Saturday or weekend event, and then it'll follow up with a small group. If you don't get to go to the event, you can still sign up for the small group. Or if you don't want to go to the small group, you can still sign up for the event. So all of that is going to be happening this year. And I just threw a whole bunch of stuff at you that you do not have to remember. All right? You'll have all that information coming at you in plenty of time every time one of these things is coming up. But the first thing that on this list that we have coming up is tomorrow morning, we're going to be fasting and praying for 3 days. Now, if I can be real honest with you, fasting is my least favorite of all the spiritual disciplines, all right? Prayer, that's all right. Bible reading, that's all right. Giving my tithe, that's all right. Giving up Whataburger is hard. I ain't gonna lie to you. This is hard, all right? You get about 3 hours into it, you can skip breakfast and lunch every day of the year. But the minute you call it fasting, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I got no energy. I'm tired. I got a headache. I don't know. I really need some nourishment to do my job well. And we convince ourselves. And so, you know, nothing is more delicious than when you're breaking a fast. You're like, I don't even like to go to that place, but today that sounds delicious. I'm just going to go and get it. So we're going to sort of look at why we fast and how we can do that. So as we're starting this, we're going to look at deep into Scripture, why in the world would God ask us to fast, all right? And then, but to begin with, I want to share this. There's many different kinds of fasts in the Bible. Now look, fasting is not, I'm going to leave out Netflix for a week. That's not fasting. Fasting is all about food. Now, you can leave out Netflix and use that as a time for spiritual discipline. That'd be great, all right? But that's not fasting. Fasting, it inherently is about food, all right? Just look at somebody and say, food. All right, I want you now to think about your favorite food, and you're not getting it for the next 3 days, all right? That's just it. So here's the way fasting will work. There are, in the Bible, there are moments of absolute fasting, right, where you drink water only, and then you just eat nothing else at all. This is the kind of thing Jesus did, 40 days, right, no food. Now listen, if you've never fasted before and you say, I'm going to fast for 3 days with no food, it might work, but it might be that you need to ease into it. You figure that out for yourself. You know where you are in your health journey. You know what your body can tolerate. Understand all of that. You know, you make decisions wisely when it comes to fasting. There's an absolute fast, and then there's a partial fast. It might mean that you're gonna fast lunch every day. I'm not going to eat lunch, and I'm going to spend some time in prayer during that time that I would have been eating. So that would be a partial fast. Another type of partial fast would be a Daniel fast. In the Old Testament, Daniel didn't eat the sweets and the meat from the king's table. He ate fruits and vegetables, stuff that comes from seeds. Now look, potato chips and tortillas don't fit in there. I know they're made out of corn, all right, and potatoes. But that's not the way it works, okay? It's real fruits and real vegetables, okay? So if you say, I'm going to leave out the breads and the fried foods and I'm going to leave out the meat and I'm only going to eat fruits and vegetables, then that could be your fast. I just encourage you to do something that you feel like in a healthy way, all right, in a healthy way, that you fast in a way that will challenge you. Don't fast, you know, like I'm gonna fast sardines for 3 days. That's really not a fast. If you don't even like sardines, you're not fasting sardines. You're just lying about it to yourself, all right? So understand that and fast in a way that challenges the status quo. What we're saying when we fast is, God, I am willing to give up the very food that gives me life because I want you in my life. I want your will done in my life. I want you to have your way in my life. So I'm willing to give up whatever it is that would come between me and you. And so fasting, it's not normal. It's not natural. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with this microphone this morning. It's not natural. We don't like it, okay? We don't want to fast, especially in America where we got cupboards that are full of food, right? We ride by restaurants all day long. So if you start out this fast and then you just mess up, all right? You just go, my car just pulled into Whataburger. I couldn't help it. It ordered the mushroom Swiss burger. I don't even know how it happened. I was just sitting in the parking lot with grease running down my chin. That's okay. That's okay. All right. Don't be promising God anything ahead of time. Don't say, God, I'm going to fast for the next, 3 days and I'm not going to eat anything. Don't be promising God stuff. He knows already. All right. When you go, God, I'm not going to do it. And he's like, I know at 4:03. You're going to be in the Taco Bell drive-thru on Tuesday afternoon. Don't be promising God stuff. He already knows about it. So it's you're just saying, this is a next step for me. Let me step out in this journey, my spiritual journey, and let me do this for God. So if you mess up, you mess up. All right? You didn't sin. You didn't fail God. You just start over. All right? And don't be starting over every meal. All right? Don't be like, all right, I failed from 7 to 8 and 12 to 1 and 6 to 7 every day. Don't do that, but just start where you are. Start where you are and let God take you on this journey. Now, I think that fasting is difficult because of the spiritual returns we get from fasting. I think Satan understands he better be on your case because when you do this for God, God always honors fasting and prayer. God honors it in multiple ways, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. So there's several reasons in the Bible where people fasted, and we're going to look at about 6 of those rather quickly this morning. So number one is we fast to invite God's help. Do you need God's help in some area of your life today? Boy, I do. I got about 3 or 4 things that I really need God to show up in, that I really want him to show up in. Now, Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas, we've been talking about them a lot lately, also appointed elders in every church. In other words, Paul and Barnabas started churches, and they're like, we can't be here every week to help you, so we're going to appoint elders, we're going to put people in charge so that we can keep the church on track and we can make sure that people are spiritually healthy. And so they are appointing elders. They're appointing people that have never led a church before. People that barely know how to walk with Christ, right? These people have not, they were not this raised generation after generation in the church, right? So Paul and Barnabas are saying, look, we're picking elders for every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So they said, look, here is something we can't control. We have to leave because our job is to go out and plant more churches and win more people to Christ and heal the sick and all of that. So we need to leave somebody in charge. We can't control it. It's out of our control. So we are going to pray, we're going to fast, and we're going to turn them over to God so that God can help them. Is there anybody in your life right now that you need to turn over to God? You've been carrying them around for so long. You're like, they're not doing right. I know what they need to do. The Bible says this, but they're doing that. And I'm worried about them, and I'm losing all my peace, and I don't have any joy. I'm carrying them around. It might be time that we fast and pray, and we invite God's help into this situation. where we can say, Lord, I just want to turn these people over to you. I still want to love them. I'm going to do my part. But Lord, I want to fast and pray on their behalf. I want to do this because only you can change this situation. All right, so you invite God's help in. Here's number two, to seek deliverance or protection. Ezra tells the story of the children of Israel, the Jewish people, coming back from Babylonian exile to Jerusalem. They were basically on their way home, right? They had sought deliverance, and watch what happens in this scripture. And there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. Now let's stop there. He said he gave orders for everybody to fast and humble themselves before God. The humble prayer, fasting, and humility go hand in hand. I cannot honor God if I'm prideful. Fasting says, this is beyond me. I need your help. This problem is bigger than me. I need some deliverance. I need some help. Now watch what happens next. We prayed that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we traveled. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. They were coming back home. They were coming from Babylonian exile all the way back to home, right? Now, they were praying for God's protection, God's deliverance, God's help in their lives. Now, when they chose that, they said, Lord, we're going to humble ourselves and we're going to pray. We're going to seek God. All right, let's just stop for a second. There is a horn honking out there and it's driving everybody crazy. Everybody look this way at this wall one more time right here. Let's just look at that wall. We can't do anything about it. All right, now let's come back. I'm just watching. Everybody is like one at a time. Like, is that my car? Is that my car? I don't know. Maybe you need to get up and go check it. I'll be here when y'all all get back. All right. So they said we're supposed to fast and be humble. And nothing is more humbling than fasting. And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, look, don't look like you've been fasting, because you're going to look rough when you fast. And it's easy to come in there with some spiritual pride and go, oh, I just been giving it up for Jesus. Oh, I'm so tired. And I just think, look, it says, don't do that. Humility says, suck it up and do what you're supposed to do. Own this moment. Let God empower you and strengthen you and encourage you and keep you safe. Let him bring deliverance. But it starts with fasting. Here's the next one. To repent. Jonah 3 and 5. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Now, let me give you the backstory. Jonah ran from God because he was supposed to go to Nineveh and tell them they'd been sinning. So he runs from God, and we know the story. The storm shows up on the, God sends a storm on the sea, and everybody on the boat's like, who in here has disobeyed God? And they were basically saying, if you disobeyed God, we're throwing you over. And they finally come to Jonah. And Jonah's like, it was me. I did it. They throw him over. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, buddy, we love you and let's pray about this. They're like, you're gone. I mean, that's how bad it was. He had disobeyed God so severely that even the people around him were like, you're done, bro. And they threw him in, and the Bible says that this great fish, this big fish, swallowed him up for 3 days. He's in the belly of the whale, all right? And then when 3 days is up, the big fish, the Bible says, goes and spits him out on the ground. I can only imagine what he looks like with seaweed off one side, and he's all wrinkled up and white and ugly. He's like, okay, God, I'll do whatever you say. So he goes back to Nineveh. He tells them the message of God, and they repent. Well, Jonah doesn't like it. Jonah's like, I've been beat up to come and tell you all this, and now y'all going to actually repent and be blessed by God? He was upset about it. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Anytime in the Old Testament when they put on burlap, sackcloth, ashes, they were saying, we are repentant, we're sorry, the times are so bad. And they did that. They actually gave up food so that they could repent. Now, the Bible tells us there are times when we as a people need to repent. We need to come back to God. We need to say, Lord, we've been away from you, and we need your forgiveness, and we need your grace. And that's when God shows up and heals our land and forgives our sin and all of that. But it starts with us humbling ourselves before God and saying, Lord, I trust you. Look at the next verse 10. It says, when God saw what they had done and they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. God recognized and responded to this fasting and repentance. Are there areas of our lives where we need to repent of this? That we need to say, I am sorry. I've failed you, God. We have failed you as a people. Fasting is your fasting this week is probably going to have an element of that in it, where God is going to show you some things and he's going to remind you of some areas that he is not pleased with, that he is going to heal you of and heal us of. But we start by humbling ourselves in fasting. Now here's number four. We fast so that we can ask for help with battles. Everybody's facing a battle. If you haven't faced a battle, get ready. It's coming. Everybody faces battles in your life. Judges 20 and 26 tells the story of how God showed up. But here's the backstory before we read the scripture. The people of God just went out fighting. They thought they could do it on their own, right? And then they realized after losing 40,000 men in 2 days, they realized very quickly they better call out to God for help. And so they fasted until that evening. Look at what Judges 20 and 26 says. Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. They fasted. Fasting moves the hand of God. Fasting will move the hand of God in your life and mine. God, I love you. God, I want what you want in my life. A wise person told me many years ago, if you want your wife to appreciate the gift, you got to put some effort into it. If you just run by Walmart and pick up some flowers, it's not going to mean as much as if you go somewhere out of your way and pick up some flowers. They might not even cost as much, but if you have something invested in it, it's going to mean more to her. And the same thing works with God. We're not trying to manipulate God, but we know that God is moved when we humble ourselves in fasting and prayer. God gave them the victory in this battle after they had just been defeated severely. They should have been defeated again, but because they fasted and prayed, they were given the victory. Now here's the next one. We fast so that we can worship God. Fasting is about worship. There's a lady in the Bible named Anna. Anna is 84 years old. She is a prophetess. She lives at the temple. And here's what the Bible says about her. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. Most of us focus on feasting and prayer. And God is like, that doesn't move me the way fasting and prayer moves me. This lady was just fasting and praying. Fasting, here's what we're doing. God, I want your will, not my will. I want your will, not my will. I want your will, not my... I don't want me and my appetites. I don't want my desire and hunger for the things of this world to come between you and me, God. I want to surrender my life, my will, all my appetites to you. And I want to worship you. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. I want your name to be lifted up, not mine. Fasting just puts us in the back seat, puts him in the front seat. Fasting says, I'm not the important one here. Because if you took fasting to an extreme, and the Bible does not tell us to do this, okay? If you took fasting to an extreme, you would starve to death and you would no longer exist. Fasting for a time, a short time, 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, whatever it is for you. Fasting for a short time is symbolic of saying, I'm putting me so far in the back that if I were not even here, God would be glorified and God's will would be done. I get to be in on his plan. I don't invite him in on my plan. He's invited me in on his plan. If I were to be gone, he can still fulfill his plan. It's an honor for me to get to be in his plan. And so when I fast, I'm saying, Lord, I recognize this is your will. This is your plan. I realize, Lord, this is your game. You're the coach. If I can ride the bench for a time if that's what you want, or I can be in the game. But whichever one you've called me to do, I'm going to do it with humility and deference to your plan and your will. What is God saying to you? What is God speaking to you about your life? What is God wanting to do in you right now? What is it that God is saying? I need you to step back so I can step forward. The Bible says I have to become less that he might become more. Now, this is important. Our culture never tells you to back up. Our culture says put yourself out there. Our culture says be who you are. Our culture says go get some more followers. Our culture says advocate for yourself. Our culture says push your face and your personality on everybody. Fame is like money to us. And the Bible tells us very simply, the one that's greatest among you is servant of all. That if I want to become, if I want God to be more, I've got to become less. And that's exactly what fasting does. It says, let me worship you, Lord. Let me give you the credit. Let me put you first. And here's number six, and we're going to close with this one. I fast to prepare myself for God's work. How many of us feel like God is, he still has stuff for us to do? He still has things for us to accomplish. He still has plans for us. We are so caught up and so busy with what the world wants from us and what we want from the world that sometimes we forget that God has a plan for our lives. God never is, he's never done with us. He wants to use us, and we got to prepare ourselves for his work. He's got to prepare us. Here's the deal. If God did what he wanted to do in my life, and I have not humbled myself, I'm going to get prideful, and I'm going to let everybody point at me and say, look what you accomplished. And God never shares his glory with anybody. You can be lifted up, but here's what the Bible says. Pride comes before a fall. Fasting says, let me humble myself now so I can lift up the name of Jesus, and that way I don't have to deal with the pain of falling later. I'm just going to stay down here where I'm supposed to be and lift up the name of Jesus, and then I won't have to fall. Because here's what he says. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. He said, I've got a plan. I got stuff for you. I'm going to reward you, but you got to do this thing my way. You got to be humble. Now watch. We always follow the example of Jesus. Look at what Jesus did. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing at all, or nothing all that time, and became very hungry. I love that little add-on right there. He didn't eat for 40 days and he was hungry. Okay, I get that one. But watch what happens in verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. Now watch what happens. Jesus humbled himself. He dealt with the temptation. Satan keeps coming at him and tempting him with this and that and the other. And every time he just quotes God's word back to him. Every time he's just like, this is what the word says. Here's what the word says. Here's what the word says. You're not going to get me in that trap. You're not going to catch me in that trap. And he's fasting the whole time. He's humbled. Jesus has humbled himself. And when Jesus comes out of the wilderness after fasting for 40 days. Now, he was God when he went in there. But when he came out of that wilderness fasting for 40 days, it says that he was full of the Holy Spirit's power. That was in Luke chapter 4. Now let me tell you what happened in Luke chapter 5. After he has humbled himself, he has defeated this temptation, he has fasted for 40 days. Listen to what happens. Jesus then goes out in Luke chapter 5 and picks his first disciple. He's like, I'm not getting anybody on my team until I have the mind of God. I'm going to fast and pray. He goes and picks his first disciple. Then, a little bit later, he heals a man of leprosy. And then, a little bit later, he forgives and heals a paralyzed man. And then, he saves Matthew, the tax collector. And then, he has lunch with a bunch of sinners. Now, watch what happens. He understood that when he humbled himself in fasting and prayer, miraculous things were going to happen. Immediately after Jesus comes off that mountain, comes out of that wilderness, all of these miraculous things, and to me the most miraculous thing was he was eating with sinners. He'd been up there, he was holy, he was feeling it, he was feeling the power and the presence of God. And you know what he did? He's like, I need to find some sinners. I need to find some losers to hang out with. That's what I need. And the religious people got angry at him and said, how dare you hang out with them? And Jesus basically said, look, people that are well don't need a doctor. It's the people who are sick, so shut up. I'm hanging out with these people. These are my people. All right? And Jesus didn't say shut up. That's what happened. When we humble ourselves in fasting and prayer, we will naturally be drawn to the down and out. We will naturally be drawn to the one who has nothing to offer us. We will naturally care about people that nobody else cares about because we've humbled ourselves in the presence of God and he wants to show up and do a work in somebody's life. He's called us to fasting and prayer. And we're going to close with this. Fasting is not easy. It is not easy. It will never be. It's not supposed to be easy. But the rewards of fasting, the rewards are so much greater. Imagine if we fasted for 3 days. Imagine what God will do at the end of that 3 days if we fast. And imagine what's going to happen if we don't fast. Listen, now don't be stepping on no scales. Don't be like, all right, I lost 2 pounds. Forget that garbage. This is not about you looking good. You're just building up your pride. He said, humble yourself. Break the scale. Hide it under the bed. Tell somebody to put it in the shed. Do something. But don't let pride get involved in this. Don't turn it back on self. We fast and we pray to say, God, your will, not mine. And he's going to show up. I'm expecting prayers to be answered. I'm expecting lost loved ones to be saved. I'm expecting people in our lives that need to be delivered and changed. I'm expecting the miraculous to happen. I know there are people who are going to say, he's crazy. Well, either you believe it or you don't. I don't care who thinks I'm crazy at this point. I already probably, it's okay. I got nothing to lose. I know where my hope is and my faith is. I just want God to have his way. Your family needs you to fast and pray. This church needs you to fast and pray. The people at your job need you to fast and pray. The people in your life that are sick need you to fast and pray. This is not just a cool little thing we're going to add on. This is a biblical mandate that God is giving us. He wants us to draw close to him. He wants us to let him do his work in us. We got to get rid of self. Our biggest issue in our culture right now is me, 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 me. Let me see if I can fulfill me. And God is saying, forget that. You honor me and I'll lift you up when it's time. I'll reward you when it's time. So I want you to stand with me if you would. If you never fasted, I want to encourage you to start like this. I'm going to fast breakfast. Just breakfast. And then after breakfast, you might go, you know what? I'm going to fast lunch. But don't set yourself up for failure and go, you know what? I'm I'm going to fast for 3 days and No. Start where you are. Now, God may lead you, but you don't have to go making promises to yourself so you feel like a failure. One meal is a win. Two meals is a win. Three meals is a win. All right? Fasting with a Daniel fast, that's a win. What is it that God is calling you to do? What is it that God is calling you to do? I ask you to ask this question of each of us, to ask ourselves when we started this. What is God saying to me? What is God's word saying to me? I believe God wants to do something with us. I want God to do something with us that we cannot take credit for. If I can take credit for what it is, God, what is happening, if it's so small and so minute that I can take credit for it, it's not much. But if it's so big that only God can get the credit for it, when your loved one comes to Christ, only God's going to get the credit for that. Only God gets the credit for that. I told you not long ago, I had one of my cousins that I grew up with. I've been praying for him for a long time. He called me the other day and he said, "Hey, man, I just wanted you to know, I accepted Jesus and I've been going to church and I haven't been doing this and I haven't been doing that." I said, "Who cares what you haven't been doing? Here's what you did. You just accepted Jesus. You just accepted Jesus." Fasting and prayer has gone into that. I would love to be able to say, I sat him down and I said, "You need Jesus," and I led him in the sinner's prayer. I wasn't even there. I don't get any credit for it. Doggone it. It all goes to God. What's God want to do? How does God want to work? I want us just to take a minute as we sing this together. Let's just ask ourselves this question. Let's honor the Lord together. Let's do it right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
Pray that you would have your way right now, God. That you would just have your way right now. God, you would just help us to, all of us, to take that next step with you, Lord. To surrender our lives and our hearts to you completely, completely, Lord. We receive it, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you If you are here in the room this morning or you're watching online, I want to encourage you. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's the most important thing. I want you to know Jesus. I like to say it's as easy as A, B, C. You have to admit that you've sinned. You have to believe in Jesus, and you got to confess Him as with your mouth that He is Lord of your life. That's that simple. A, B, C, admit, believe, confess, and start that journey with God. You can say that in your own words, in your own way, all right? But I encourage you to lean into God. There is no point. It makes no sense to try and do this on your own. What kind of craziness says that we can live this life without God's help? That's crazy. So if we lean into Him and we say, Lord, I want You to have Your way. I want to surrender my life to Your will and Your plan, and I trust You that You have what's best for me. It's that simple. I trust that You know what is best for me. And here's what I promise you. You have a church family that loves you and will not approach you arrogantly. Everybody in this room knows they are messed up without Jesus. All right? Amen. That kind of gives me some peace. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have to fake it. All right? I get to know that if I mess up, if I'm not perfect, I got somebody right here that has my back. So if you're accepting Christ, you're not coming into a group of perfect people. You're coming into a group of people who understands the struggle and understands that we all need each other and we all need Jesus. So if that's you and you're ready to start your journey with the Lord, I just encourage you to make that decision today and start with Him today. And let Him work in your life. All right. So this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to be fasting. You choose your fast. All right. Wednesday night from 6 to 7, we're going to meet for prayer right here in the sanctuary. It's going to be come and go. You can stay for the whole hour. You can come for 5 minutes. You can come for 1 minute. It doesn't make any difference. We're going to all gather. The Bible says if we're all gathered in His name, He's there. And the Bible says if all of us agree, if two of us agree on anything that we ask for, it shall be done. That's what we're doing. We're going to join the power of agreement over your prayers, over your family, my family, and we're going to ask God to just do what we can do. It's that simple. It's that simple. There's not going to be a lot of pomp and circumstance. You can come in, stay as long as you want to, and leave. We'll open it. We'll close it 6 and 7. If you can make it, I hope to see you there. But I know you can spend some time fasting this week and praying on your own. God, thank You for letting me be a part of this church. Thank You, Lord, that I get to be in here with these people. And Lord, I just pray that as we move forward, we would move towards You, God, in everything we do. We put our faith and our trust in You and lean on You and let You do Your work this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here.